Welcome to the Cool Tools Show. I'm Mark Frauenfelder, Editor-in-Chief of Cool Tools, a website of tool recommendations written by our readers. You can find us at cool-tools.org. I'm joined by my co-host, Kevin Kelly, founder of Cool Tools. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, it's great to be here.
In each episode of the Cool Tools Show, Kevin and I talk to a guest about some of his or her favorite uncommon and uncommonly good tools they think others should know about. Our guest today is Simone Jatsch. Simone is a 26-year-old Swedish native who now resides in San Francisco. Millions of people come to watch her build shitty robots on YouTube, and she recently launched her own astronaut training program to get herself into space. Simone's videos have been featured on The Ellen Show, The Late Show, Mashable, Business Insider, Wired, Conan O'Brien, and more, whilst most recently joining master builder Adam Savage's tested team. Hey, Simone, how are you?
Hey, I'm brilliant. I just had coffee and had food, so I have no physical complaints whatsoever. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
I just had some dark chocolate that my wife and I bought in Japan that's really good, so I'm raring to go too.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Japanese chocolate. That's wilder than I went. That's good on you.
It's called Royce. I recommend it. It's from Hokkaido. R-O-Y-C-E. It's amazing.
You sponsored?
No, we're not, but we should. Totally.
Yeah.
I know. It sounded like a plug.
I think everybody should be sponsored by Japanese dark chocolate.
I'd be down. Out of all the sponsorships you can have, I feel like that's one I could shamelessly promote without any shame. Yeah, it'd be a good one.
So you have some awesome tools. I love everything that you recommended today. Let's start with the Dremel tool model 4200. So most people are familiar with Dremels. What do you like about this particular model?
It's funny when I talk about tools because people are so like, I mean, I started building stuff about 3 years ago and I'm like rediscovering everything and the people I've known for a long time. Like in a tested video, I was super excited about pop rivets and people were like, seriously, pop rivets have been around since the 50s. Like come with something new, girl. But like to me, it's new because I'm just like discovering how to do all these things. Dremel tool kind of goes in the line of that. Like it might not be the sexiest, like fanciest new thing. But I think it's like once I got one, it blew my mind because I do a lot of like aluminum fabrication. So I make like parts out of aluminum frames or customized parts that I already have. And for that, it's freaking great because you can like it's like having your own arm do it, but like at a much higher RPM. And it's like a little pen. Like it's just such an accessible tool. Like you're just sitting there and you're like cutting. It has like the tiniest little cutter blades and it's just it's just nice. I think it's so versatile.
Is this the cordless one?
This one is corded.
Corded, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's corded. But it actually doesn't bother me that much. I tested at the tested workshop. We have a cordless one. And I think it's fine, but I feel like I always run out of batteries. And it doesn't bother me that much. But I know that there are Dremels where you can swap out the batteries, so it's not built in. So you can just have one charging, and then if you're out, you swap it out. But yeah, and I have this pretty cool. I have like a little drill press that goes to the Dremel. So it's like this little station and it turns your Dremel into like not a very accurate drill press, I must say. Like it has a lot of wobble in it, but definitely more accuracy than I ever get by just freehanding.
Yeah, Dremels are like tools of approximation. And I think that's kind of one of their charming things is you just kind of hone in on your desired finished product by chipping away a little bit at a time.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's such a nice thing because you can really feel – it's like one of those tools that you can really feel the material that you're working with since it's pretty tiny. It like fits in your hand and it just – you really feel like you're in control of it in a different way from when you're doing like really big tools.
And do you use it mostly to cut things or like polish things? What kinds of things do you do?
I polish things with it a lot. I also – it's perfect for pedicures. It's
that's,
like,
okay,
I can't. I'll probably get sued if I recommend this because somebody's going to like accidentally cut their foot off. But oh my God, like if you have any callus, just like work it off with your Dremel tool. It's so perfect for it.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, well, people do use Dremels to clip their pets' toenails.
Right.
Cats and dogs.
Yeah.
Why not do your own fingernails?
Why not?
Yeah. No, I think it's just like such a good, I mean, it's a versatile, it's definitely not the most powerful, definitely not the most accurate, but it's a super versatile tool and it takes up no space. Like I just have a workshop at home, so I have pretty limited space and I can't have really big machinery. And also it's like in the same room as I'm sleeping in. So I can't like have very heavy equipment. And for that like setup, that type of workshop setup, I think the Dremel is a given.
Yeah, and I think the cordless or the corded way is really the way to go because the battery powered ones are underpowered, I think. They don't have enough torque, and if you're like really bearing down on your work or your material, the motor tends to seize.
Yeah, it gets stuck a lot.
So this is cool, and it's the higher end one. It's like $114, which is really still pretty inexpensive for a tool that I suspect you use every day.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, every day that I'm building something, I use it.
Okay, well, so you have another one. And there are so many 3D printers out there, and you have picked one called a Prusa, I think. And maybe you can talk about how you came upon this one and decided that this was the one for you.
The Prusa. Yeah, so I am definitely not an authority in 3D printing. I am a total 3D printing novice. And I think in some way that gives me a bit of authority to speak on this because I've used a fair amount of 3D printers and I'm always like, I have no freaking idea what's going on. And they like all the prints curl up or like I had the DaVinci Mini Pro and that one just didn't work for me. I couldn't get it working. But the Prusa has, from the start, just worked brilliantly. And it's a really open design. So you can, like, easily swap out, like, the extruder and stuff like that. Because it's just, like, everything is very – it looks like a very, like, maker printer because you can definitely, like, tinker with it without having to take some, like, big casing off.
Yeah, and I see that it's got, like, a little control panel below. Do you use that to like start the prints or see how like far along it is with the print or what is that? What kind of info is that giving you?
Yeah. So that's like where you set. I mean, either you can set the information in like the files and in the printing files that you put on. But you can also like set the extruder temperature and the bed temperature. So it has a heated bed. And I think it's pretty impressive for the price point. But yeah, you can set a bunch of different stuff, but that's like where you pick the, so you have a little SD card. So it doesn't, I have at least not found a way to hook it up directly to your computer, but you do it all with just SD cards. So that's where you choose what file you want to print on the SD card.
And what does it cost?
It's $700.
$700. Yeah. I mean, it's still freaking expensive. I mean, 3D printers are, I mean, if you're just like a hobbyist maker, it's a big investment to make. But this is the first 3D printer that has worked well enough for me to actually use it on a regular basis. Because I've been around 3D printers for a long time, but I never got over like the hiccups and the thresholds of actually starting to use it to prototype properly. And this is the first one that's worked well enough and has had few enough problems to me to be able to actually leverage it properly when I'm building something.
There is a kind of a number of different versions. What versions are you using or do you recommend?
I don't really know about the other ones because I haven't tried it. I am using, I think I put it in the document, like the MK3, I think is the name of it.
MK2S.
Okay, MK, yeah, you know it better than I do. But what's exciting about it is that also later this year, or if they already have, but they're going to ship another print head or an extruder where you can print multiple materials. So you just swap that out and suddenly you, with the same printer as you have, you can print multiple materials.
The other thing is you really, either by choice or by luck, you got an amazing 3D printer. It's a three-time winner in Make Magazine's annual 3D printer shootout. And it's actually received the highest score on all 36 test points that Make Magazine runs all the printers through. And I used to be at Make Magazine, so I saw the setup. We put all those 3D printers through very rigorous testing, all in a room, and they're all cranking away. And it was the cover star of the 2017 desktop fabrication issue. So Simone, you got a good one.
Yeah, no, I actually saw that after I'd gotten it. Yeah, so it was totally by luck. And what I find even more impressive is that I think that in the make review, they didn't even take in price as a part of it. So even though it's like a fairly cheap printer, it still kicked other more expensive printers' butts.
Yeah, because it's easy to spend over $2,000 on a 3D printer.
Yeah. No, and it's such a, I mean, also like I'm European, I'm from Sweden, and it's a Czech company, and I think it's always just really nice to support small startups. I mean, they're not that small anymore. They've grown like crazy, but just support European entrepreneurship. And also it's like, it's really generous when you get it. I mean, I bought it or I got it as a kit. So you had to assemble it, but it like comes with a lot of filament and like candy, stuff like that, that always makes you a little bit extra happy. You're like, it just adds a little bit.
So is it still a kit? Is the MK, is it two? Is that a kit still?
I actually, yeah.
Okay. So you have to assemble it. Some assembly required then.
Yeah, I mean, the one that I got, so you can buy it assembled or unassembled or as a kit. And the one I got...
Yeah, assembled is $900.
Yeah, but it might actually be worth it. I mean, it takes like a fair amount of hours to assemble it. It's a pretty ambitious assembly. And I mean, I got lucky because we did it as a tested feature. So I got two like 3D printing experts who helped me assemble it. We could film it and I could, yeah, get help with doing it.
And what kinds of things do you use this to print with? I mean, roughly the size of the biggest piece that you could print. What do you do with them?
I haven't printed that big stuff. It's mainly smaller stuff. I mainly used it in, I did like a shitty claw machine. So instead of like, you know, like claw machines at amusement parks, they always have a really weak claw, and I wanted to do a claw that was really strong and actually like beheaded the object it was trying to pick up. And I like mostly used it for that to prototype it, but it's interesting because I feel like what I really like about tools is that once you feel that you like, you know them, you know their capabilities, suddenly you find so many use cases for it. So since then I've actually used it, like I have like one of those window fans, and it like kept on falling out of the window, and you like, I just like designed really quickly like a little holder for it. Or what I did, this might be my biggest contribution to humankind. Do you know neti bottles, like neti pots?
Yeah, for the nose.
Yeah, I made like a cork or like a regular bottle cap. So like it fits onto like a Coca-Cola bottle, a plastic bottle. That's actually a neti, like little nozzle.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
I know. I was like, this might be the best thing I've ever done. You're welcome, humanity.
Is that 3D model available for download anywhere?
I don't think I've actually put it in public. I mean, it's not, it could definitely use some iteration, but because you need to like make a hole in the bottom of the bottle, mm-hmm, for air to be let in and for it to actually flow. But I can put it online.
Yeah, definitely.
It's
yeah,
just so off brand because I don't think it's shitty. Like it's actually pretty useful.
Yeah, it'll tarnish your reputation.
Yeah.
You need to have a second brand. Yeah, you have. Yeah, I think you could. You put it on Thingiverse or something where they swap all the files.
All right. Yeah. I should put it out. It's a good one.
That's a good one. Cool. I'll definitely print it with mine. And I actually use my 3D printer to make things like brackets. I did one for our ice maker broke in our freezer. And so I made a little bracket to hold it. And I made little caps for the bottoms of patio furniture that had disintegrated on the furniture that we had. So I'm always looking for useful applications for the printer rather than just, you know, useless ego kind of thing.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so you also have the maker tool of the millennium, something that everybody wants, and I think you have it before anybody really has gotten one, the Glowforge laser cutter.
So I don't have it. We have it at the office, though, at the tested office. Yeah, it's...
Is this a prototype version? Or?
It's a prototype version. Okay. So they're constantly pushing updates. But it's been, I love 3D printers because I love being able to use different types of materials, and it's so freaking quick. It's, and also like designing in 2D is trivial. But I just hate the freaking smell of it. And the Glowforge is like pretty good about pumping out, its fumes, but it just sticks. Like, I feel like I smell like forest fire for days afterwards.
Yeah, because it's burning through bamboo or wood or something.
Yeah, but I think the Glowforge, like, so what is probably one of many unique features that it has is that you have a view, so it's all in the browser. So you just go on like your printer's domain, and or you log into your account, and there you have like the bed view of your printer. You can see the material, and that's where you upload and place the designs. And you can also scan stuff on it, so you can like draw something on the material, and it scans it, and then it can etch it or rasterize it. And I think it's just such a nice, it's really an improvement of the workflow, because I feel that like the constant of when you're laser cutting stuff and you like have like a little USB stick or an SD card or something like that, and like running back and forth between the printer and your computer, like just excluding that step makes it so much less of a headache. And I think that that's actually what I like most about it. I mean, for one, and it can also like scan materials. So if you buy their proper materials, then it scans it and knows like exactly how to cut it best. But I think it's mainly like the improvement in the workflow that I like about it.
So it's just to be clear though, it's a laser cutter. It's a fairly large one that cuts, has a very fine laser cutter, and it can cut wood and the normal things that a high-powered laser cutter could. So, but in addition to that, it also has this sort of nice user interface. Is that generally what's being sold? Is that the advantage?
I actually don't know, but that is. It might be that it's like higher accuracy than any other printer. Blah 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 blah. I don't really know about that, and I don't know how much it applies to my use case. What I appreciate about it is user interface.
Yeah, and also I had a chance to check out the stuff that the Glowforge made at Maker Faire, and it's amazing, like leather wallets and moccasins, the kinds of materials you can use, and the accuracy and precision of the cuts and the engraving is remarkable. And I think it's going to open up a whole new world to makers to be able to use all these different kinds of materials. And then with advances in joinery of flat parts and being able to snap them together into 3D parts really opens up things in a huge way. You can make furniture with it, really cool wooden enclosures. I'm so excited when this thing becomes publicly available and people start getting it into their hands. I think it's going to surpass 3D printers in the kind of stuff you can do with it.
So it's at this moment, it's $3,000. Do we have any idea of when people can actually get one?
I don't know about that. That's a good question. I talked to Dan Gene Shapiro, the founder of the company, and you know our friend Dean Putney is their software engineer. Mm-hmm. I think it's this year.
This year,
this
okay.
Year. Yeah, and you know they ended up having way more pre-sales than they estimated. They had almost $30 million in pre-sales.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
Yeah. And so they had to like find a manufacturer, and they ended up finding a manufacturer in the United States because they wanted to stay on top of the quality and everything. It's, I just can't wait for it to come out.
So can I actually change the last tool I want to talk about? Because I wanted to talk about, I just got an air compressor, which I kind of blows my mind because I can try out pneumatic motors. But I haven't really gotten to it. But one tool that I have tried, and I don't know if you've had anyone talking about it on the podcast, the Shaper Origin.
No, I don't know that one.
Oh, my God. Okay. So this is a great tool. I'm not sponsored, but they did let me take home their beta version and try it out. And it's a handheld milling machine. So basically you load like an SVG on it And
what's an SVG?
So like a file of with just the, so your design. So like it is pretty similar, just like a CNC machine, but it's handheld. So it kind of looks like a rotor, but you hold it and then it auto corrects your path. So it shows you where to move out. So you're like, okay, I want to like CNC the map of the United States. And you like just roughly hold it over the path and then it auto corrects up to an inch, I think, and cuts it out perfectly for you. And what I think is so nice about that is like, I mean, because the use case is pretty similar to a laser cutter, but you can, or like a regular CNC machine, but you're not limited to bed size and you're not limited to having like something that's flat on the floor. Like you could be like making the map of the United States on your wall in your bedroom and just hold it up on the wall. And I think it's just such a, yeah, it's super cool and it works. I've just tried their beta version. I haven't tried the final version, but I'm really impressed with the capabilities of the beta version. And it's just worked really, really great.
And so the idea is that rather than having to do an elaborate, huge bed, a frame that's very rigid and holds things to high tolerance over, you know, the size of a door or a table, you're actually using your arm to hold it, but yet it's auto-correcting to higher precision than your own ability to steer it. How does it do that?
So it comes with this like tape, this dotted tape. So you have to put this tape over the material and then you scan the surface, and the Shaper Origin has like a bunch of sensors and it sees the tape and is in that way able to know exactly where it is and where to put stuff. And then you have a little screen where it like shows you where to go. So it's like, okay, go a little bit further than that. So it's basically like you're just like, what's it called when you're drawing and you're a kid and you have to do one of those like painting books and you just have to like follow the lines, that type of stuff. It's like you're just like, it's like you're playing this little game of like following a line that's on a little screen, and then this machine does this like pretty intricate work for you.
So it's got some kind of vision system that kind of does the fine tuning to make sure
that's really smart. That's very, very clever. I can kind of see it. So your body is serving as the large scale frame, and then the brain of the tool is actually doing the fine precision work.
Yeah, and it's not like heavy to move around or anything. Right, and also, what's cool is you can save the workspaces, so you can be like, you can do a cut like halfway through, and then take a break for a couple of weeks, and then get back to it and keep on doing it, and it knows like where it laid out all the parts.
That's fantastic. So, wow, we have a laser cutter, a router, and a 3D printer, and then the Dremel. I mean, you're set, really.
Yes. Now, but going back to this Origin, that's also not available right now, right? It's just also just a prototype?
Yeah. So they're shipping. I think they're set to ship mid-2017. And it seems like they're pretty good on time. They have a full, highly like functional beta version of it. So I think they're making good time. And it's between, I think retail is going to be around $2,000. So it's definitely also a very pricey pricey machine. But like some of the things that people have made with it, like people make really beautiful things with it already. And it's just such a nice thing when you're, because you get all the capabilities of a laser cutter, you're not limited to bed size, and you also don't get like the ugly burns. You can make, I don't know, I just think it makes, I mean, it worked for everything from like somebody who's making jewelry out of like brass to somebody who's doing leather working, or somebody who's like, they made like a whole like hen, what's it called? Like a hen coop? Like a whole
chicken coop.
Yeah. They made like a whole chicken coop just using this tool and like cut it all out.
That's really cool. So I think it's a good moment to mention, you know, we have the laser cutter, this Origin tool, and even the 3D printer. Another alternative for people who don't want to buy all three or four of those things is that, you know, something like a tool rental co-op, you know, makerspaces, tech shops would all have these kinds of things as well, and where you wouldn't have to buy them, but you could have access to them. And I think that these are the kinds of things that you may not use every day, and while it's super convenient to have them in your home, it's also an entry point for people who don't want to buy these very expensive tools to actually get access, subscribe to an access. And I think that's really a prime use for these kinds of co-ops.
No, totally. And I mean, a lot of them aren't very friendly to have at home. Like I would not for a million years let a laser cutter into my house because they reek and like they have a lot of fumes. I'm like hesitant even just having a 3D printer that prints PLA. But I think, yeah, joining a makerspace, that was how I got started. And now like just having access to Adam Savage's workshop and the Tested workshop is great because a lot of the tools we have are here.
Yeah, exactly. So these are the ideal kinds of things if you have a school or a makerspace that would be part of that basic tool set. So I think, you want to do a bonus tool, which was your fourth one? Do you still want to talk about that?
The air compressor?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what to say about it. It's a basic air compressor. It's the first time I've had an air compressor, though. I'm just excited.
It's like pop rivets, right? You know, I mean, even though other people know about them, you're excited. Tell us sing the virtues of an air compressor.
The virtues of an air compressor. Where do I start? I mean, most of all, so like building robots and tinkering with electronics used to be my hobby, and then it became my job. So I had to find a new hobby. So I've been doing a lot of woodworking in my free time, and I do it at home. I have a little workbench in my garden, and I'm always like covered in sawdust. And just being able to like blow off my tools before I bring them into my bedroom is amazing. My producer Scott came up with an idea that I think is brilliant because we were talking about selfie sticks and or like taking selfies in general, that it's really shameful. But like to me, it's like a part of my job, believe it or not. It's like I have to take photos and document, even though it feels cringy. So we're like, what would be like smoother way of doing it where you don't have to like hold up your phone? And we were talking, Scott had the idea of making a selfie stick fanny pack. So you have a fanny pack, and then there's just like the stick that blows out of it and takes a photo of you and then goes back in. And the reason I bought the air compressor was because I want to make it by air. So you just have like this little plastic rod that blows up and then goes down. So I think that was like the reason I bought the air compressor, because I got all these like loose like little signal horn canisters and I had to refill them quickly. But then since then, I've just been amazed by the air compressor, and also because you can use pneumatic motors, which is like, I mostly use servo motors and DC motors. And it's hard to get, like, if you want a motor that's both strong and fast, like, they're really pricey. And I feel like ashamed of using them for such ridiculous shit because they're just like very fine-tuned and well-engineered machines. But if you have air pistons with just solenoids, it's like, you just get so much force and so much action with just air. And I think that is like what I'm super excited about, most excited about. But it is very loud and I feel bad. I hope my neighbors are not going to complain anytime soon. I mean, I don't have a dog. I don't have a screaming baby, but I do have a loud air compressor.
A screaming compressor. I think you know about like the other labs and Saul's whole effort to imagine like soft robots and very strong things that you can make just with air pressure, just inflatables. And so you can do amazing things that you wouldn't even think could be done just
using air.
Yeah,
and it's such a harmless thing. It's like air. What about it? I mean, like, sure, like the air compressor, it's a little bit terrifying that it's just like a bunch of pressure in this like canister, but it still feels, I mean, rather than be like doing with the hydraulics, like I hate hydraulics, like leaking hydraulics. I have a houseboat back in Stockholm. I had a lot of problems with because the steering system is hydraulic and I just like detest the oil that comes out of it. But air, it's just freaking air.
Well, there's a project. You should change your hydraulic steering system in your boat to pneumatic.
Oh, maybe. I wonder, can you do that?
Why not?
Yeah, maybe. Why not? Sure. I'll try.
So the other use in the air compressor has, of course, is it keeps your tires inflated. You don't have to go down to the gas station to pump your tires up.
Yeah, if you did have a car. I don't even have a driver's license, but I'm working on it. So, yeah, I think that, and I mean, also there's a bunch of tools that you can use for it. I got one of those nail guns, which I'm pretty stoked about. But heck, like getting all the little little things that connect into things, like all the connectors, because there's like all these different categories where there's like universal joints and car mechanic joints, I think. So you like really have to invest deeply into one of the standards, and it's a bit of a headache, but
it's a learning curve. And did you decide on a particular low-end compressor, the one that you bought? I mean, did you do any research and come up with one that you thought better?
No, I ain't nobody got time for that. I just bought the one that they had at Lowe's.
Yeah. So, Simone, where can people find out about your DIY astronaut training program?
It's all DIY astronaut, and all the shitty robots that I build are on my YouTube channel. So just search for shitty robots or Simone, and I'll be one of the suggestions. Simone, G-I-E-R-T-Z.
Okay, that's great. And also, we can find you at Testa.com as well.
I've made myself fairly easy to find.
Well, great. And we wish you the best on your Swedish TV show, and we'll put a note on that whenever that comes out.
Yeah, cool. Thank you so much.